My name is Kyle Harmon. I'm one of the pastors here, and it's just a blessing to be here and to be asked to preach today. So thank you so much for that gift. We are starting a new sermon series today called Come and See. And today I'm going to be preaching on the power of invitation, okay? The power of invitation. And let me just start by saying this. Who here knows that there is a right way to invite somebody to something? Right? Like a wedding or something. Like you should get a save the date. And then like, you know what I mean? There's a right way. And anybody know there's a wrong way to invite somebody to something? Anybody? Okay, if you don't, let me share this little story. This will illustrate where there is a wrong way to invite somebody to something. So my wife, Joanna, she works at another church, and they were putting together a sermon series graphic for a sermon series called Invited, okay? And they were working with an outside contractor, so they had to give like a prompt, you know? And so they gave the prompt, and they were like, yeah, for our sermon series called Invited, we would like it to be warm and cozy, like a cottage in the wintertime. Think of like Oaken's cottage in Frozen, you know what I mean? There's like a sauna in there with like 9 Scandinavians. It's comfy. That's what they want, right? And so this is what they got. Okay. Now I don't know if you've seen Frozen, but that is a dilapidated shack in the wilderness. That's not a warm, inviting, cozy. You're invited. It does say invited. But there might be somebody in that shack, and I don't want to know who it is. So they got back to the person. They were like, hey, contractor, good, you know, swing and a miss. That's okay. We get 3 strikes. So let's try again. We want to be cozy, inviting, warm, maybe even safe. Let's go with safe. And so, and maybe make it like in a village, not just a single dilapidated shack. And so they got back and they got this. Okay, so now, just a picture, we have the dilapidated shack front and center. In the back left, we've got Abe Lincoln's blown up cottage. And the top right, that's the house from Psycho, right? That's absolutely what that is. This is like, now we know we're invited to something, but we don't know if we're getting out, right? That's what we know. So again, they were like, okay, we're not on the same page, Mr. Contractor. Can you just, okay, this is for Christmas. We need this to feel Christmassy and warm and safe and inviting. And so they said, just one more time, can you make it Christmassy? And this is what they got. Okay. So it's the same graphic, except if you weren't scared, there's now a blood red background. And I don't know, is that snow or is that apocalyptic ash? Who knows? We are invited, that is clear. So there is a wrong way to invite somebody to something, and I think that's it right there. So so we're talking today about the power of invitation and a new sermon series called Come and See, okay? So this title, Come and See, it comes directly from Scripture, from John chapter 1. So if you have your Bibles, I'd love you to open your Bible with me to John chapter 1, 32 through 39. And if you don't, it's right behind me, so you're good. It says this, then John gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one. The next day, John was there again with 2 of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. And when the 2 disciples heard him say this, they began to follow Jesus. They followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, what do you want? And they said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Come, he replied, and you will see. Would you pray with me as we begin our time together? God, I thank you for your word, Lord, and the story of your son's baptism, being filled with the Holy Spirit, Lord, and then the power of the invitation given to these disciples. God, I pray that you teach us what it means this morning, Lord, to come and see that you are good. We give you this time, this message, these words, this space. We say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so again, John 1, we see this incredible scene, right, of Jesus' baptism. And this is where John, he sees this dove come down from heaven. It's representing the Holy Spirit, and it remains on Jesus. I heard there was a couple eagles on our way here, stuck in the road for some of you all, and you couldn't get by them. Kind of like that, right? This dove comes out of the sky, but less creepy. And it lands on Jesus. Again, there's a right way to invite somebody. But John, and we get this idea where he says that I will baptize with water, but Jesus will baptize after me with the Holy Spirit. And theologically, what we understand here is that Jesus comes in the form of a human, right? But he is God, and he's filled with the Holy Spirit. So we see this all over the Bible. Jesus is full of the Holy Spirit when he enters the temple, right? It says he's full of the Holy Spirit when he goes out into the wilderness. He's full of the Holy Spirit when he preaches, when he flips over the tables at the temple. And actually, there's this beautiful place where at Jesus' ascension, in John 14:6, he says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. This is the Holy Spirit, to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. You see, church, today is Pentecost Sunday, right? And as I was writing this message, I would love to say that I was prepared and knew that. I did not. I lost track of the fact that it was 50 days after Easter today. And it's Pentecost Sunday, but God wanted this message preached. Amen? And he gave me this message and he said, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. And I was like, okay, God, I guess that works, but here we are. And the point of this is, just like that Pentecost Sunday, the Spirit is here now in this place with us. The Holy Spirit wants to fill us, to lead us, to guide us. So that is the first thing we see in this passage, right? Jesus is being baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus will baptize with the Spirit, as John says. Now, the second thing that we just read in this passage, the second thing is that we see these two disciples of John. And we learn later in the chapter that it's Andrew and Peter. And they start following Jesus, right? They start kind of chasing after Jesus. And Jesus says, you know, turns around, looks at him and goes, why are you following me? And I love that question because it seems kind of simple to us. Like, why are you following me? And they say, Rabbi, teacher, where are you staying? And this is where Jesus, he says this phrase, come and see, follow me. Now, we got to sit with this for a second because this might seem simple to us. Like, yeah, sure, come and see, check out where I'm staying. I'm at the Holiday Inn, you know. But no, Jesus is actually saying this incredibly powerful thing in this first century Jewish time, right? They've identified him as a what? They called him what? Rabbi, right? Which means teacher. But also, at this time, rabbis were also the most powerful, the most respected and honored people in all of society, right? This is like the president and a CEO and the mayor and everybody wrapped up into one person. They're like, oh, rabbi, right? And also, they were the best students, right? And they taught all the schools. And so you have this system that Andrew and Peter are in. And they grew up in, and the way the educational system worked at that time was that for the first 5 years of your life, Jewish kids, they would go to school and they would study. It was called Beit Torah. They would study the first five books of the Bible from ages 5 to 10. And by age 10, they would have this by memory. They could memorize and recite any chapter, any verse in this, okay? And now, after that, 10% of them, 10% of these kids, they would get to move on and they would memorize the rest of the Hebrew scriptures, the Old Testament. 39 books, Genesis to Malachi, memorized by memory. Okay. Now, the 1% of those, right? So the 1% of the 10% of the, like we're talking about the cream of the cream of the crop, these kids, they were the ones, if they could do all of that by memory, they had the opportunity to go to a rabbi and ask if they could follow the rabbi, right? So when it says here that Andrew and Peter are following Jesus, he is, yeah, it's a good question. Why are you following me, right? But the rabbi, what he would do is he would grill them. He would try to get every piece of information, ask about any verse, any chapter that he wanted. And then for the select few, if he thought that this kid really had it, could take on his legacy, what they called his yoke, then, and only then, he would say these magic words, come and see, follow me. Do you understand now? Does that make sense, right? Like, And what do we know about the disciples? Were they the cream of the cream of the cream of the crop? Were they the best of the best? No, right? They were what? They were fishermen. They were apprentices. They were tax collectors. They were zealots, what some people called terrorists back then, right? Like, this was a rough group. This wasn't the best of the best, right? And so, of course, if this rabbi, the most revered and honored person in the society, says, come follow me, what are they going to do? They're going to follow him. And I can't, you know, I can't give us a modern day comparison, but the closest I think we can get is like if you didn't apply to Harvard and you just opened the mail and you got an acceptance letter to Harvard, would you probably go? Yeah, like if you probably like, yeah, I was a student. It's a full ride and everything. Yeah, probably. Andrew and Peter were invited to. Okay, the power of that invitation. So, what does this passage, this idea of come and see, I think, what does it mean for us today? And I think the most important thing we can learn is that we are invited to invite. If you got notes, go ahead and write that one down. We are invited to invite. We're going to come back to that. Just as Abraham was blessed to be a blessing, right, in Genesis chapter 12, as we see all throughout the Bible, we're called to disciple one another, to bring others with us, to multiply, as we just said in the series before this. So we've been invited into the family of God. And that is in itself a miracle, right? Like, because I don't know about you all, but are we all Jews in here? Were you born of Jewish descent, ancestry? Some of you, yeah, I was. But not most of us, right? And so we're grafted in already. That's the first miracle. We're invited into this family of God. But then we're not just invited to become complacent or comfortable or stay there. We're invited to invite others with us. We are invited to invite. And again, this means two things. As I just said, we're invited, right, into that family of God. But not just to stay there. And this is where that Holy Spirit comes in, church. This is where what God wanted to say today. We're invited into deeper connection, deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit. Paul reminds us all throughout the New Testament that we aren't just supposed to live with this knowledge of the Spirit, right? We're not just supposed to live in the light that the Spirit exists. I came from another faith tradition that I previously worked at, and I like to say that they had a neat little box in the corner for the Holy Spirit. Like, Holy Spirit was over there, and we knew he was over there, and that was fine. He was in the room, but he had an ice box, and we didn't get him. He didn't come out very often. That is not true. But what I love about the Holy Spirit, and I love about our church, is that we're willing to move with the Holy Spirit, right? We're willing to let the Spirit lead us and guide us. We're supposed to be guided by the Spirit in our everyday interactions. Yeah, and it says Jesus is filled with the Spirit. In Romans 8:5-6, Paul says it this way. He says, those who live in accordance with the Spirit will have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Doesn't that sound good? That sounds good. I don't know about you all. Sometimes my life is not life and peace. Sometimes I think my life is not always governed. Even some translations use the word controlled by the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but giving up control, that doesn't always make me feel comfortable. That doesn't always make me feel like, oh yeah, that feels good. No, it can feel a little scary to walk with the Spirit. And this is, I think, interesting for us as covenanters, right? For those of you who've been here and are part of the covenant, we say the first question of the covenant a lot, right? Who knows the first question of the covenant? Bonus point if it's in Swedish. Where is it written? Yes, yeah. And that's great, right? We go to Scripture. Where is it written? But since the inception, since the beginning of the covenant, we've had a second question, and it's equally important. Okay, bonus points. Who's got this one? Lauren. How goes your walk? Let's give him a hand. Let's go, Lauren. Very nice. Okay, how goes your walk? And this is that question that covenanters, that this comes from the Pietist movement in Europe, of people who wanted to walk daily with God and have their lives changed and led by the Spirit, right? And so these people, they believed in and they had a vibrant walk with the Holy Spirit, that advocate that God gives us. This is our heritage. And we're invited into that same relationship today. Now, I don't know about you all, but my wife will tell you that I am not always a good person at experiencing the journey. Okay? Yeah, you hear her laugh. I don't always appreciate the journey, right? Like, I want to get to the destination. I want to be in the destination. If we are going to Disneyland, I am not enjoying the line. I am enjoying the ride, okay? And so that's a little struggle I have, it's true. But how goes your walk is not about the destination. Do you hear what I'm saying? How goes your walk is not about the destination. That is a question about the journey. That's a question about the journey. As we walk with God, we walk on this journey together. And frankly, the destination, where is the destination? I mean, heaven, kind of, but we keep walking, right? That's the beauty. It's eternity. And I think C.S. Lewis, who does an incredible job of describing these sorts of things, he does this amazing job. And he describes this in Chronicles of Narnia, the last battle, the last book. He writes this amazing chapter, and all the characters, they're walking into the fullness of Narnia, right? They have arrived. They are there. They are seeing it kind of for the first time, but also they've kind of recognized it because, like, it's the now and the not yet of the kingdom. They're like, wait, I've been here before, but not fully. And it's beautiful and it's amazing. But this is what C.S. Lewis writes, that the unicorn summed up what they all were feeling best. He cried, "I have come home at last. This is my real country. I belong here. This is the land I have been looking for all my life, though I never knew it till now. Come further up. Come further in." I love that. I love that, right? Doesn't he just do such a great job with that, right? And it's that idea that they've arrived. They are in Narnia. They see the fullness of it for the first time. And still, they're called to come further up and further in, right? We're invited further up and further in with our walk with the Holy Spirit daily. We're not invited to the destination. We're invited on the journey. How goes your walk? Okay, that's point one. Second point is that if we're going to follow Jesus' example in this passage and the whole Bible and all of Scripture, we're going to invite others to come and see with us, right? We're going to invite others to come and see. We are invited to invite. As we're being discipled, being filled with the Holy Spirit, we're called to disciple others and encourage them in the ways of Jesus and to be filled with the Spirit. And this is an important question to think of. Are we living in that way? Are we living invitationally? I had a boss at work who did an amazing job of this. He would just set aside chunks of time in his day where he would sit in a place where he knew a bunch of people were going to pass him in the lobby of the church. And he knew he had 30 minutes for whoever came. And I got to say, I never did that. I was like, you know what? I can get something done in that 30 minutes. Like, I'm going to tick off something off my to-do list. But he was living invitationally, right? He was living in a way that people could come and see, that he could invite them onto the journey. And I have another question here. When we invite people to come and see, will they see something different than what they see in the world, in our lives? Sit with that question for a second. When you invite somebody to come and see in your life, will they see something different than what they see in the world? Because that is the invitation, right? That's why we're guided by the Spirit, that as we invite people to come and see, it's not to see us. It's to see Jesus. It's to see the Holy Spirit in us and through us. That's what they're invited to. Just the other day, I was dropping Addie off, our older daughter, at kindergarten. And she loves to get walked into kindergarten. And so we're walking her in. And there was this other family there who we have been praying for. And they're Addie and the little girl, I'll call her Sophia. That's not her name. They're really good friends, and they love to play together, and we've had them over for play dates and stuff. But they've been on our hearts, and we've been praying for them, and I was waiting for God to, like, tell me, Lord, when should I invite them to church? Because they're former Mormons, and they have a lot of church hurt and wounding from that life. And so I was just praying about it, and Addie, she's walking, and she sees her little friend and her mom right next to us. And with the faith of a little child, she just looks at her and her mom and goes, "Would you guys just come to church with us?" And I'm like, "Oh, you don't have to." Like, I started backtracking. Like, we're at a public school. Let's calm down, Addie. But Addie just says, she just goes, no, it's just so fun. And we get to sing about Jesus. We get to learn about God together. And I just wish you were there. Right? The faith of a little child. And her little friend was like, "Yeah, I would love to come to church with you." Now, don't you all ask when they come to church with us, okay? Just pretend that, just be cool, okay? Just be normal, okay? Okay? No, but she couldn't stop herself from inviting her friend because she just wanted her friend to come and see. She just wanted her friend to come and meet Jesus. She just wanted her friend to come and know what it is to be loved and to love one another. And that to me, like, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's such an example to me of that faith, number one. But number two, as a musician, right, as a musician, I'm reminded of the hymn, "How Can I Keep From Singing?" Right? How can I keep from singing? If you know this hymn, it's an older one. And as a musician, it's my heart's cry, because I don't have to sing to the Lord. I'm not required to sing to the Lord. I love to worship the Lord, because when I'm in the presence of the Spirit, when in the presence of the King of Kings, how can I keep from singing, right? Amen? Yes, church. So I want to invite you to do two things this week, church. And again, get your notes out. You got to write this down. First, I want to invite you to follow Addie's example, right? Reach out to somebody who you know is not walking with the Lord, who you know is not part of a faith community, and invite them to something. You could invite them to coffee. You could invite them to dinner or come over with your family. You could invite them to come to church with you. We are invited to invite. So I want you to think of that. Who are you going to invite this week to something? And the second thing I want you to do is, if you do know somebody who's following after the Lord, go ask them, "How goes your walk?" Let's use these words of our foremothers and our forefathers that they taught us to use with one another. How goes your walk with the Lord? Because those personal invitations, they have power. They can change someone's eternity. You have that power from you, from the Holy Spirit in you. Okay, so I'll leave you with this story. My dad had just come back from serving in the Vietnam War, and he was understandably a very broken person. He hadn't been walking with Jesus. And I just want to recognize tomorrow is Memorial Day, and so I want to thank those of you who served and our veterans. And I realize that all of you came back with struggles, different struggles because of that, but there were a lot of people who didn't get to come back, right? And so tomorrow, as we remember them, let's keep that in our minds, and thank you all. But my dad did get to come back, but he was really broken. And you see, he wasn't walking with Jesus. He had been baptized as an infant in the Catholic Church, and he had actually become a Christian later in life. But all of this brokenness, this trauma wore him and weighed him down. And he didn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so he was living in Denver, Colorado. And he was caught up in addiction there to drugs, and he was dealing drugs just to try to pay for it. And one night in his little tiny apartment, he prayed and he begged Jesus. He said, "God, I met you before, and I need you to come and be near to me right now." And it was almost like he saw a burning bush in that little apartment. It just, the room lit up, and he heard this voice. And Jesus said to him, "Paul," my dad's name is Paul, ironically, "Paul, I never left. I never left. I've been here the whole time. I love you. I'm here." And my dad said, "Okay, God, thank you so much. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do?" And God told my dad that he needed two things. He needed fellowship, and he needed to go and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so the next day, that was Christmas Eve, 1976. The next day, my dad went to a Christmas Day service. And he went and he rededicated his life to God. And 2 days after that, he went to a little Bible study. And at that Bible study, they prayed for my dad to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And everything didn't change overnight, right? But something was different, right? He couldn't go back. He wasn't the same person. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. And my dad that night went and he flushed his entire stash of drugs down the toilet. He told me yesterday it was $6,000 worth of drugs in 1976. That's a lot of money, right? That's a lot of faith. And he never did another drug in his life. Amen. Isn't that good, church? And so my dad went back to work and people kept asking him, "Hey, what's different? Something's going on." And every time he would say, "Yeah, I met Jesus and I got filled with the Holy Spirit." And he kept just inviting them, come and see, come and meet the King. Come, you have to see. And at first they were a little leery, like, okay, he's kind of weird and he's very different. And did he get brainwashed or something? But they watched and they waited to see if it was real, right? They watched and they waited to see if it was just real or fake or whatever. But a couple years later, right, he's leaving this job and several of his coworkers, they came to him and they said, "Paul, we couldn't believe how much you changed. We were waiting to see if it was real or if you were just pretending." And those couple years, by the time my dad left, 8 of the coworkers in his own office out of like 50 people had become Christians, had started following after Jesus. That was just his office. There was like 20 more people all throughout this Air Force base he worked at who started following after God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, right? There are generations of people who got to follow after Jesus because my dad said, "Come and see," and invited them. There's power in the invitation, church. We're invited to invite. So I want you to think about that. Who this week are you inviting to come and see? So this morning, we have the absolute joy of getting to baptize. I had written 4, but now it's 5 more of our students. Let's give a hand for that. Let's go. Woo! And church, this is a Holy Spirit. This is a come and see moment, right? These students, they've tasted and seen that the Lord is good and they can't go back. They're professing that they want to find and follow Jesus for the rest of their lives. So they get to declare that in front of us in this congregation today. But I want to invite you, all of you, that right now, if you've considered baptism, if you've wanted to be baptized and you haven't been baptized before, today's the day. This is it, church. It's open. Today is the day. If you haven't been baptized before, you can be baptized today. We're going to have elders over here by the prayer banner. And if you want to be baptized and you feel a call, an invitation from the Holy Spirit, you can go and talk with them and be baptized. And also, if you have been baptized, we want to offer a reaffirmation of your baptism today. You can come do that too. We're going to be in the front after. We're going to sing some songs together. We're going to worship for a while, okay? Buckle up. Holy Spirit's here. Holy Spirit is here, and he wants to do something powerful today. So if you want to be reaffirmed, please, you can go talk to the elders at the prayer banner as well, and they'll be there in just a second. But I just want to say, church, we are invited to invite to come and see that the Lord is good. There is so much more. Come further up. Come further in. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you this morning, Lord, that you are good. God, that your promises are forever. Lord, that you fill us and guide us and lead us and that your Spirit wants to be in charge of our lives. God, I pray that you would use this time, these words, this baptism. Lord, let this be a liminal moment, a place where people say something changed and I could not go back. God, I pray that you use our time together to form us, shape us, expand the borders of your kingdom. Fill this temple with your Holy Spirit. God, you are good. Your mercy endures forever. Holy, holy, holy is the name of the Lord. We bless you. It's your name we pray. Amen.